Our first scripture reading today is Isaiah 7, 10 through 16. Again, God spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of God, your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put God to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, God will give you a sign. Look, a young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread of will be deserted."
The second scripture reading for today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by God through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of God commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus. Here ends the reading.
So, thank you, Elizabeth and Stephanie, for not only sharing the scriptures with us, but also joining us as leading worship today. I really appreciate it. These two scriptures have a lot in them, and they require a lot of understanding that comes from many different sources in the Bible and many different sources in history. And I thought about it, how would Jesus have talked about these scriptures? And I realized that one of the ways he probably spoke to the adults was by actually speaking to children. And you know the story that it says in the Bible where it says, "And all the children were coming to Jesus, and he was calling them to him, and the disciples start trying to shoo the kids away because apparently it's unseemly for Jesus to be seen with these kids, and kids are supposed to be seen and not heard, but Jesus calls them anyway. And he talks to them and tells them stories. And I thought maybe the way that he would have communicated this story, because there would have been adults listening as well, as to talk to kids. And so here's kind of how I think it might have gone. So Jesus is in a crowd somewhere. He's in a crowd gathered together, and there's lots of adults and there's lots of kids, but he focuses in on the kids and he says, "Hey, Emmanuel, come over here." This kid looks at him and goes, "What?" And he looks at another snot-nosed little kid over there and says, "Emmanuel, come over here." And the one that's pulling someone's hair over there, "Emmanuel, come here." And they finally go, "Hey, mister, my name's not Emmanuel. I'm Moshe. I'm Solomon. I'm David. I'm Diana. I'm Miriam. I'm Leah. I'm Rebecca. I'm not Emmanuel." And Jesus would look at him and laugh and say, "Maybe, but I kind of think you are. Come here, I got a story to tell you that might tell you as to why I'm calling you Emmanuel." So they come over, sit on his lap, gather around him, whatever it is. Disciples decide, okay, look, Jesus is doing his thing. We better get out of the way because one never knows what's going to happen here. And so Jesus looks at the kids and he says, I want to tell you a story. And have you heard of a king by the name of Ahaz or Ahaz? And they all probably go, boo, boo. And they're booing because as kids, they probably, just like we did as kids growing up in this country, learned all of the presidents of the United States. They probably learned all the rulers of Judah and Israel through the 700,000 years, 700 to 1,000 years in which they might have been in existence. And they would have known that Ahaz would not have made the top 10 list of good rulers. He just wasn't up there. And they're going, boo! And Jesus says, what? What's with the booing? And so says, Ahaz, he's the one who said, I will make myself a slave to the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser. What a great name. Can you imagine naming your child? This is Tiglath-Pileser. I will make myself a slave to Tiglath-Pileser. And for a people that understands themselves that they once were slaves and God has freed them and that they will be slaves no more, the very S utterance of the word slave would cause the kids to go boo, especially if it is one of their rulers who says, I will make myself a slave. And then another child might pipe up with Jesus and say, not only that, he's the one that went into the temple treasury and took from all the temple treasury to give money to Tiglath. Jesus says, yeah, that's right. And another one says, and not only that, went into the temple and burned down the altar, melted the altar, and then made a brand new altar that looked just like Tiglath's altar and install that in the great temple, except for Tiglath's altar was for another god. And these good Jewish kids with Jesus there understand that the very first commandment is thou shalt have no other god before me. And here is their ruler Ahaz, boo, Ahaz, who is making this altar to another god and putting it in their temple. And Jesus would have probably let them go on for a while because he knew that, and they knew, and he wanted them to understand that when God has called us as a people, God has called us and our rulers to be people that rule and live in a way different than others. It is not about power and might. It is not about accumulation of resources. It is about justice and peace and mercy and compassion and love. And Ahaz missed the boat big time. And so Jesus says, well done, Emmanuel. And they're going, what? I mean, yeah, we got this. I'm not Emmanuel. Well, that's good. Emmanuel, did you hear Emmanuel say? And they're shaking their head. He says, well, let me tell you a story. So there is this time when Ahaz is king, that a prophet comes to visit Ahaz. Anyone know who that prophet is? Jesus would have asked. And I'm sure one child, always there's one who raises a hand first, always wants to be the first one that's called upon, and usually always has the wrong answer, says, Jeremiah. And Jesus says, lovely, lovely guess. About 100 years later. Okay. Anyone else? Daniel. Yeah, you're off by another couple hundred years. Malachi, oh, you're still off. But that's all right, you're guessing really good prophets. Amos, one of the kids says, Amos. Good, right around the right era, but up north. But Amos is the one that went to the ruler up north, Jesus says. And remember what Amos said? You shall let your justice shall roll down like an ever-flowing stream. But not Amos. Micah? No, not Micah, but remember what he said. What does God want of you but to be just, merciful, and humble before your God? And a little voice pipes up, says, Isaiah? Jesus says, bingo! Dun, 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 dun. You got it. You got it. Isaiah. And Isaiah comes in and talks to Ahaz, and you can imagine Isaiah must have been a little bit nervous coming in to talk to the king and knowing that he's going to call the king on the carpet. And he goes to Ahaz and he says, Ahaz, you got to understand this. You can do better. You can do better. God would like you to do better. Ahaz, you are the ruler of a covenant people. You can do better. And then Isaiah says, and to prove it, God knows that you're worried. You're worried about the kingdoms to the north. You're worried about the beast to the east, Assyria. I'm telling you, Ahaz, if you will just do what I have asked you to do, to be a ruler of a covenant people and rule with the covenant in mind, all will be well. And if you have a hard time believing this, tell you what. God says to Isaiah to say to Ahaz, ask for a sign. Put me to a test, God says. Any test, anything you want, put me to a test. Can you imagine? Jesus looks at the kids. This king that you know Isaiah wants to slap upside the head, you know Isaiah wants to say to God, God, come on. Can we not get rid of this bozo? Can we not find a little bit better ruling material than this one? And you're going to let him choose the test? And God says, yeah, choose the test. And what do you think Ahaz says? Jesus asked the kids. What Ahaz says is, oh, I won't put God to a test. He gets all proud and puffy. I wouldn't do that. And Jesus looks at the kids, I'm sure, and says, do you believe him? And they go, no. No. Someone in the crowd goes, BS. No, he would not. He did not. He's not all proud like that. And the truth is, absolutely. Ahaz has already made side deals. Ahaz has already decided what he's going to do, and what he's going to do is not follow the way that God wants him to follow. He is going to follow the way of the Assyrian king. He is going to go for power and might and accumulation of wealth, and that's the choice he's going to make. But he's going to say all proud, oh, I won't put God to the test, not me. And Jesus looks at the kids, I'm sure, and says, do you get it? Do you get it? Here is this person who's dishonest to God, this person who has done everything wrong in the book, and yet God is still trying. God is still trying with this person, says, you can do better. I'm not so worried about what you have done. I'm worried about who you are now and what you can do. And you know, at this moment, there's a pregnant pause, in which Jesus looks at the kids, and he looks at one of them that he knows has just been lying to their parents. And he looks at another one that he knows has just been beating up on their younger sibling. And he looks at another one that he knows probably stole a loaf of bread. And he repeats, God says, it's okay, I am with you. I just want you to be better. That's it. And then the amazing thing is, Isaiah says, and Ahaz, since you don't want to ask for a test, here's what God says. I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Jesus looks at all the kids and says, do you get it, Emmanuel? Do you get it, Emmanuel? Jesus again repeats, do you get it, Emmanuel? And they're all going, we're not Emmanuel. Are you kidding me? And he says, oh, but I think you are, because listen to the sign. And then Isaiah says to Ahaz, the sign. It's a two-part sign. The first part is simply, Ahaz, if you would just do the right thing for 2 years, that's it. You can hold on for 2 years, Ahaz, you're okay. The temple treasuries have been robbed, but there's still enough money. 2 years, do the right thing. If you do the right thing, all the problems you're worried about will go away. Northern kingdoms, don't worry about it. Assyria, don't worry about it. 2 years. And one of the wise kids, you know, who's sitting in the crowd, that one who is really good in Hebrew school, raises his hand and says, wait a minute, where does it say 2 years? Jesus says, it's right there in the story, because the story is that Isaiah, speaking for God, says a young woman will conceive of a child, and before that child is the age in which they know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, all those problems will go away. And he looks at the kids and he says, how many of you have little brothers and sisters? And a couple of them raise their hand and says, how old are they before they understand what is right and wrong? And they all say, right about 2 years old. That's when they start lying to their mothers and fathers because they know they're in trouble. They know the difference between right and wrong, right about 2 years old. And Jesus repeats, the prophecy is a young woman will have a child, and before the child is 2 years old, all those problems will go away, Ahaz, if you could just hold on for those 2 years. And sidebar, just so you know, in Hebrew, the word that is translated a young woman is a different word than in Hebrew, the word that is translated a virgin. In Greek, the Greek translators decided to combine them together, and so then when we in English get it from Greek, we get a virgin who's giving birth to this child, and we can have a whole nother conversation about why we might need to have a virgin son of God and all that. But in Hebrew, in this story, it's a young woman who's going to have a child, and in 2 years' time, all will be well if Ahaz can just hang on and do the right thing. And then there's a second part. And the child is going to have a name. Jesus would look at the kids and say, what do you think the name is? And they go, Emmanuel? Exactly. And what does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. And at that point, Jesus would look at the kids and say, that's what Isaiah's been trying to tell Ahaz this whole time. God is with us. Ahaz, you don't need to worry about your political machinations and everything else. Do the right thing. God is with us. And with that is another question is, are you with God? God is with us. And the kids say, but that's that child's name. And Jesus says, yes, but it's the hidden middle name for all of us. For God is with all of us and everything. And then I bet Jesus looks at a child and says, Moshe Emmanuel, you know, even though you just lied to your parents, God is with you. Are you willing to be with God? Sophia Emmanuel, even though life is really hard because your parents are working so hard and the taxation burden is so heavy, God is with you. Are you ready to be alongside with God? Benjamin Emmanuel, even though some of your goats ran away as a shepherd and you have to go to all this work to go find them, remember God is with you. And Jesus looks at all of those kids, says, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with you. In fact, you know that one that I call the fox every now and then, Herod? God is with Herod. God is with Herod, just like God was with Ahaz, asking Ahaz to do the right thing. The same thing God is asking of Herod to do the right thing. God is with Pontius Pilate. God is with Caesar, even though the Caesar thinks he's a god. God is there. The question is, are we? And one of the kids says, so that means I can be as bad as Ahaz? I can be as bad as Ahaz and God is with me? And Jesus says, absolutely, but remember, there are consequences to the choices that you make. God has called you to be a people that is loving and just and kind and compassionate. Ahaz never got with the program. Ahaz had every chance to do the right thing and never did. And the result of that, even though God kept trying to get Ahaz to get with God, to get with the program, the result of that is the northern kingdom is destroyed. His own kingdom is impoverished by the tribute that he is having to pay to Tiglath-Pileser, and a few generations later, the Assyrian kingdom is overrun by the Babylonians, who now don't care anything about what Ahaz might have done with Tiglath a few generations before. There are consequences. Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel. He points to every child and says, God is with you. Can you make the choice to be with God? And then, and this is the moment, Lee, and then, because he can turn one loaf of bread into a bunch of loaves of bread, because he can take a few fish and turn it into a meal, Jesus probably, after having these kids at his feet all this time and knowing that a child's attention span is about this long, says, let's eat. Let's gather around the table. And so indeed, those children would have gathered around the table with Jesus at that time, and I'm sure some discussed what he had to say, and some went on to pull one another's hair or whatever it is that they were going to do at that moment. Because with Jesus, it's time after time after time, the love begins to wash over you like a wave that begins to hit you until all of a sudden you realize the truth that you've been hearing for a while is the truth that you need. And so there at the table, there might have been one or two that were ready a few years later to themselves become followers. One never knows. At this table, everyone is welcome. At this table, everyone is invited. Ahaz would have been invited to this table, no matter the fact that he never would have cracked the top 10 of good rulers. Ahaz would have been invited. I'm sure Jesus, if Ahaz were sitting there with him, would challenge him, just as Isaiah did, to do better, to take the power that had been given to him and to use that to do that which is right and good. Ahaz never did. There are other leaders of our time that have been invited to the table, and in fact, we are better because they came to a table just like this or in other ways and chose to live in such a way. One of those, Mahatma Gandhi. How much has the world changed because one person over decades was willing to lead with love in a nonviolent way? Same things that God calls us to when God calls us to the table. Nelson Mandela to survive 27 years in prison and to come out, and when the time came when it would have been appropriate to punish all those who had caused all the harm, instead created the Truth and Reconciliation Commission to find a way for people to hear one another's pain and work together. And the song that was just sung for us by our choir of Queen Liliuokalani, monarch overthrown, illegally imprisoned, who still finds room, one, to respond with nonviolence, two, to respond in a way to try and change the hearts and minds of those who have opposed her, and three, to even compose songs of forgiveness. It's here at the table as well. This table is open to all of us because God is with all of us. And all of us are asked the very same kinds of questions. Are you willing to give of your life to be with God? And so we recall, and the bread that we have today is a bread that is a nod to Queen Liliuokalani. It's a bread that is made with the gifts of these lands, Uala and Ulu, woven together into a loaf of bread. Jesus took a loaf of bread. I'm sure it was not Uala and Ulu, sweet potato and breadfruit, but it was a loaf of bread there gathered at the table with his disciples, with those who had been following with him and those that would carry on the journey because God would be with them. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he poured the cup as we did just a moment ago. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, a covenant of love. When you partake of this, join in that covenant with one another." And so offering to you the gifts of this table, we will bring to you, if you need gluten-free bread, raise your hand. Otherwise, we will bring to you this u'ala and ulu bread. Put your hand out, we'll drop it in. We will drop a grape. With our friends in Zoom world, we will join together with those who have brought their elements to the table. We will join together in this great feast where all are welcome because God is with us. Amen.